You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Amen. God's grace and peace to you, whether you are a regular passing through, welcome. I'm grateful that we are able to gather together this holy night. And it is a holy night full of hope and truth, of light coming into the darkness, of God so loving you and me that he would come to us to abide with us and to save us. And I'm also aware that in addition to being a holy night, it is a holiday night, and that we find ourselves perhaps mentally and emotionally all over the place. Something about the holidays, something about the seasons. Thankfully, Paul and I had our holiday stress fight at 8 this morning and not on the way to church, and so I kind of feel like we're winning. So it's a holy night, but it is also a holiday night, and perhaps you find yourself mentally and emotionally all over the place, and we bring expectations, do we not? We bring expectations to holy nights, and we bring expectations to holiday nights. And expectations can lead to anxieties, and to anxieties, to disappointments, and to piling on to whatever is already there. And as we gather tonight, as we gather perhaps in different places, and this is true at any time and at any gathering, you may be joyful this evening. You may find yourself sad, hopeful. You may be despairing. You may be missing someone. You may be here reluctantly or ambivalently or expectantly. You may be weary. You may have any mixture of emotions going on inside of yourself all at once. And my hope for all of us gathered here is that we can step away for the moment, away from the machinery of the holiday. And I'll say that there's some things about it that I absolutely love, but to step away and to hear a welcome word, the word that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. I pray that together we will hear the word of a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, a Prince of Peace who comes meekly into the midst of the wars and the rumors of wars in the world around us and all the wars that go on, not only around us, but also within us. And that the Prince of Peace would come into our relationships and into the uncertainties and just the general too muchness of our lives. And that he would bring a word of joy, that he would bring a living word, a word of actual joy and peace that we would hear again this night. To you is born a Savior. I recently encountered a quote. Eric Sevareed was a reporter and author back in the day, particularly known. He reported during World War II and reported from Paris during the fall of Paris and then reported throughout the war. And in many ways, he was known for that. But years after that, he spoke to another threat, this one homegrown, speaking to the ongoing need of deliverance, even in yours and my everyday life. And he wrote this, again, years ago, but prescient today. And he wrote this: the biggest business in America is not steel, automobiles, or television. It is the manufacture, refinement, and distribution of anxiety. The manufacture, refinement, and distribution of anxiety is not new. It's in tonight's readings from the Bible, in the prayers we will pray, the hymns we will sing, the human condition and all of its fraughtness is brought before us, and a living word is given to it, the one in whom the hopes and fears of all the years are met tonight. God comes to us. And he comes to us to meet us not where we should be, but where we are, lest that be your concern. And Stephen Cherry wonderfully writes, "What matters about Christmas Eve, of course, is the eve, the time when light falls away and darkness arrives. The cloak of darkness is precisely where the Christ child will be born, not for reasons of secrecy or protection, but because the true light is gracefully drawn not to places that are pleasantly illuminated, but to the deepest darkness. Whatever, wherever in your life the darkness resides, we're necessarily reminded, we're wonderfully reminded, that Jesus comes to abide with us there and to deliver us from there. That mission would be difficult and dark, and that is not news to God. And as Psalm 139 so beautifully, poetically states the truth, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before me, and you lay your hand on me. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." The night will shine like the day. The light comes into the darkness. A friend of mine, a fellow clergyman, tells a true story that happened to him some years ago, and he entitled it simply, "How I Found Myself at the Bottom of a Dumpster on Christmas Eve," is the title of it. And at his church, they had two services, one at 4 and one at 11. Quaint and sounds wonderful. But on this particular night, he had given very specific instructions to the ushers to save the bulletins from the 4 o'clock service as they would be reused again at the 11 o'clock service. And it was about 15 minutes before the service began. And one of the ushers, the head usher, came up to my friend and said, "We're out of bulletins." And my friend said, "Of course, like you and me, you know, there are bigger issues out there in the world, more serious issues, and yet I get it." And his anxiety began to ramp up, particularly as he saw all of the ushers running around trying to find spare bulletins wherever they might find them. And then he discovered that the head usher at the 4 o'clock service, in a moment of recycling zeal, had decided to take all of the bulletins and go out behind the church, and his church is on a college campus, and that will become relevant in a moment, and to go behind the church and to dump all of the bulletins into the large green recycling dumpster. And my friend received this word 15 minutes before the service would begin, and so he made his way behind the church and began to make his way to the dumpster to try to decide what he would do. And he said he got to the dumpster and he flipped the lid and he stood up on his tiptoes and peered down into the darkness. And as he looked down into the darkness, considering his next move, one of his parishioners came walking by on their way to the 11 o'clock service and said to my friend, "If you were a real priest, you'd climb in that dumpster." And so, my friend, it's now 10 minutes, and in his best suit, his shoes polished for the Christmas Eve service, he climbed into the dumpster. And then, upon landing at the bottom of the dumpster, he received three insights. And the first he said was this. The students at LSU put things in recycling dumpsters that in no way qualify as recycling. That was his first revelation as he found himself knee-deep in the used beer cups from the fraternity next door. Holy night. He found himself there in the bottom of the dumpster with these cups up around his knees. And then he said the second insight which came to him, he said that in the darkness of the dumpster, surrounded by the steel walls, he said a quiet came over him as he looked up into the night sky. A quiet came over him, and a peace came upon him. And he said that as he looked up at the stars, he heard God saying to him, not audibly, but unmistakably, "Drew, you're taking yourself way too seriously. Go in, lead my people in worship, and then go home and go to sleep." Epiphany number three, he said, was this. It's much easier to get in a dumpster than out of a dumpster, particularly when your hands are full of gently used bulletins. Those three epiphanies which came to him. We hear tonight light in the darkness, peace that passes understanding and circumstance, the confines no longer confining. God coming to us where we are. God coming unexpectedly and abiding with us in redeeming ways, finding us in the dark places, that the light might be in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on us has light shone. The goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior has appeared to save us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. Oh, come to us. Abide with us. Our Lord Emmanuel. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.